Boom.
Boom. Normally, you're the one to say that, but I snuck it in there instead.
I mean, I said
Aha.
boom too. Did you not hear my boom?
I did not hear your boom.
Okay,
You
so
got it. You got to bring in louder booms, buddy.
I usually just sneak in the boom. The boom is just for me, it's not for the audience.
So speaking of things for the audience, I want to talk about something that happened in between the last time we recorded. I took a week off. I know we're going to start off with sausage, but I took a week off because I was feeling kind of eh and didn't really want to record. And I haven't really edited the last podcast we did either, so I'm a little behind. But I've kind of been out of like. Just, I needed a break, you know? Sometimes you just
Yeah,
need a break.
a mental health day.
Yeah, or a mental health week and a half, or however long it takes. But so we had a D&D time set up where you were the one in charge because you are the DM of our D&D group.
Yes.
And so most of us showed up on time and as we rolled into the Discord and we're like getting set up and everything, our illustrious DM, I was sitting there going, "Hold on, hold on, I need a couple more minutes. Hold on, hold on. Oh God, oh, I made it to the top four. Hold on, hold on." And so we spent like another 20 minutes before actually getting into the D&D session because someone was playing Hearthstone.
I will have the record show. It was like 15 minutes, and one person hadn't shown up, and so I finished just as they were coming in. So it was all good. We would have still waited.
I just wanted to let you know how proud I am of you in that I was in that moment that you were late for something that you organized yourself because you couldn't put down a video game. Like that is peak gamer right there. You've ascended to a new level.
I wasn't planning on it. It should have ended earlier, but I was winning, and let the record show as well. In the Hearthstone Battlegrounds, I got a first place in that match.
That's why you didn't want to quit, right? Because you were close
Yeah,
to winning and
if I was losing, I would have turned it off and just paid attention to you guys. But again, top four, and then top two, and then, oh man, I could win this whole thing. It's not easy. For me, I'm in single digit first place wins.
that's good. It's good that you're getting better at the game and also that you know your priorities, which is to get a win in a video game before socializing with your friends.
What have you done to me?
I didn't even do this to you. This one you did to yourself. I have not told you to get into Hearthstone at all. Like this is your own addiction.
It was supposed to be a poop game, to be fair. Like, but that was my mistake.
I
Hearthstone
really
is
hope
not
you
a
weren't
poop game.
pooping on live cam while we were watching you.
No. When I was in the bottom eight to four, I was in the bathroom, and then I was winning, so I continued playing, and then I just waited for you guys, and I continued to win. But like, I was supposed to be done in the bathroom and leave it behind.
That's what happens when you think that the games that you're only playing here and there for 5 minutes suddenly start interacting with the rest of your life, and suddenly gaming is everywhere.
Yes, it was. I was proud. I will admit. I was about to say I'm not proud of that. No, I got first place. I'll own that victory. It was worth it.
It's a gamer. Da-da. We're here. It's a gamer. Da-da. This makes no fucking sense, but we're doing it anyway.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer, the procedurally generated podcast that's a roguelike for your ears. Hears? Hears. Ears. I'm your host, Atma, and I'm here with.
Harvey Z in the place to be.
Fuck that one up a little bit. But.
I was wondering if you would call it. You should have just been confident with it and just gone with like here's and like then I could have been like maybe I'm the one and you could have like gaslit me.
No, I don't gaslight. That's not how I roll. So I had something I was going to intro with after I did the cold open about D&D, and I don't remember what it was now. See, this is why some people actually like write down what they're going to do or like make like a plan ahead of time. And every time I do it, I'm just like, I'll wing it. I can remember. Like, I know what I want to talk about.
I mean, it's good to have a skeleton sometimes. I mean, if you want to be a professional about it or something.
For me, it's good to have a skeleton all the time, because if you don't, you're just like a giant blob of skin and muscles and no structure at all.
So, well, I won't go into that. I was about to, like, I wanted to talk about slime jellies, but that might be a personal interest.
What?
So I've been seeing some animes recently about slime jellies.
Never mind. We're not going to talk about slime girls and like monster girls, are we? Is that where this is going?
Do you know about this stuff?
I mean, obviously. Come on.
Okay. I thought you were a little bit more naive about that.
Are you kidding me? Look, monster girls and like all that sort of thing has been around in gaming and anime and nerd culture ever since like we were wee tykes before we even knew what that was. So
really? Okay, yeah. Maybe I'm the one who, like, I knew slimes as like little like candy blobs and stuff in video games, but like it's changed, man. It's it's interesting.
What anime were you watching?
So I haven't been watching, but I've just been seeing them pop up, and like I don't know where it was, where it was like somebody was like, it might have actually been the title of the anime, where it's like the title is the description, like, I killed 3,000 slimes and now I'm the only one left or something, or like I ate a slime monster or some weird like titles like that. And I was just like, it caught my imagination, but then those slimes are not the cute little like candy blobs. Those slimes are interesting slimes. Yeah. I haven't done any more research on it, but it was something where, just say the word.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's all about like phases, you know, and like, I think there are certain monsters that get the sexy treatment a lot more often and are always in vogue, you know, like vampires and werewolves and that sort of thing.
Gonna ask you, what do you go for, vampires or werewolves?
Wait, what do you mean by go for?
Exactly what I mean. What? Not what you would be, but you know, who would you pursue or go after?
See, so I'm not a monster sexy person. I want to be very clear. I also just sent you something in our Discord.
I appreciate it.
I've never really been, I get why people are attracted to it, but also like, I think it's partially, I've never really been into the bad X stereotype. And when I say X, I don't mean like EX, I mean like blank, you know, girl, boy, non-binary, okay, etc. And so like a lot of monster type things, you know, like the devil girl, succubus, incubus, vampires, werewolves, like there's like that air of mystery and you know, like danger and that sort of thing. And that's never been something I've been into particularly. And so like,
ever?
No, not really. You know, and so like I've never been into like goth stuff or anything like that. And that's like only very tangentially related, but sort of that, you know, like rocker chick, bad girl, you know, or bad boy or whatever. I don't know. It's just not been my thing. And so as another side effect of that is just like, I've never really had monster fetishy type stuff. And I'm not trying to use fetish here in the derogatory sense in any way. I'm just saying, like, it's not been my thing.
That's really interesting, because I know, like, so Twilight came along, but we were probably, like, high school or older by the time Twilight came along. But, like, even before that, like, I don't know why. Like, it feels like a part of the culture. Even, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer was one part where you started to introduce, like, sexy vampires, mm-hmm. male and female. And that before, like, I feel like it's a classic trope. Like, even Dracula is sexy in like the book and stuff for its time. It's like romantic era or Victorian or whatever. Like, it's one of these like classic, it's not like a modern thing, but you've never been into that sort of a genre or, like you've said, monster kind of themes. But do you self-identify with a particular monster?
Not really. Like, I couldn't come up with one off the top of my head. I'm sure someone could, like, pinpoint me and tell me what I could be, but, like, I don't think of one. Here, let me give you an example. Have you ever heard of the show Lost Girl?
Yes, I think I tried to get into it, but I didn't get past the first episode.
Yeah, so it's like I think it was a show that was on Sci-Fi originally, and then, but it's about a succubus is the main character, and she basically gets entered into the world of the Fae, or actually I think she's like a half succubus, but for whatever reason she's half Fae, is a succubus, and like she's a new person into the Fae world and whatever, and so like the entire show is all these like fictional monsters, but they're sexy, and you know, like, because the main character is a succubus, she's like having relationships and is bisexual, and like there's all this sexy happenings and everything. And literally my favorite character in the show and the one I was the most attracted to was the human woman. Like literally every other character in the show is some sort of fey supernatural ability, monstery type, you know, sexy thing, and you know, from werewolves to, you know, sirens and succubi and all that stuff, and the one that I liked the most was the human, and you know, so that's just how I roll.
Interesting. So like I will say, I can tell like where I got into this, weirdly enough, the Addams Family, like you the mean original Wednesday? Like no, ew, oh my god, no, I'm not a pedophile, like Wednesday is like a
okay. Like, when you're 11 and seeing the Addams Family movie,
I wasn't even talking about
11.
I was saying the original Addams Family in black and white.
Okay, all right.
So, this is like Nick at Night or TV Land stuff. And that one, like, yeah, Wednesday's a little girl. Like, this one was more like, I was probably, you're right, like 9, 10 years old, but I like to read, and I had a book on like the making of the TV show, and it was like with pictures and stuff, but it was Morticia and Gomez. I really liked, like, they were actually a really progressive erotic couple for like that time and era.
Yeah.
And so I really liked Morticia, which I guess falls more into the goth. I always kind of view her as like vampiric in a way with her features, but like that was the first where it was like, oh, this is interesting. Gotcha. Harvey Z needs to learn how to research.
Yeah. See, like, you said Addams Family, and the first thing I thought was Christina Ricci, because I had a crush on Christina Ricci growing up. And so I think, you know, Wednesday from Addams Family, because, you know, when I was a kid, you know, mm-hmm. I had a crush on her, and like in that, and Casper and whatever else. And, you know, obviously
Casper was I was about to say you had a crush on Casper, but no, I know what you mean. She was in the movie.
She was in Casper. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like, obviously now I am not into Wednesday as like an adult because she is a child, but
wait, there is a brilliant like series of shorts on YouTube where Wednesday is like grown up and she's just like living her life and stuff. She's sexy in that one, but she's an adult. Like, she's a sexy Wednesday. You might want to look it up.
Okay. All right. I think, and like, that there's very different from like aesthetic, which like an adult can. It's kind of like adults who dress up as Velma from Scooby-Doo. You know?
Holy shit. I've been on a Velma kick actually just like for the last 48 hours. Cause like, I was like, oh, these are like clips from like the Scooby-Doo live action movie. And I was like, oh, I remember watching one of these, but I didn't see the sequel. There's a lot of like deleted sexy Velma scenes and stuff. Like, wow. I mean, I always liked Velma, but like sexy Velma, even more appealing.
There is a lot of sexy Velma. It's very weird because like, all right, this is going on a slight tangent. I do have things I actually wanted to talk about. Just because I didn't initially remember what I was going to lead with doesn't mean I don't have things planned for this episode. But it is very interesting to me how, like, in the actual show of Scooby-Doo, Daphne was sort of presented as the sexy one. and Velma is like the nerdy, smart one or whatever, and not like not presented as like the conventionally attractive one. And yet, cosplayers who do like sexy Scooby-Doo almost always lean towards Velma over Daphne. And it's very interesting to see that sort of like how that happens.
I feel like it makes sense though, for especially in cosplay, which, so I'm going to make assumptions here, but like cosplay is a little bit more nerdy culture or like in that sort of otaku style. And like Velma is in that realm. Daphne is like the popular girl. And I have the appeal of like slutty Velma is way cooler and more interesting to me than slutty Daphne. But like, I think it's like Velma's like in the club. She knows like she would be the one who would be at cosplay conventions and stuff. I feel like Daphne would make fun of it or wouldn't go to conventions. Now, that's an assumption from back then and stuff. And now like Velma could totally and Daphne could totally be like into nerd culture. But at least how they were presented on the TV show, Velma and Fred were like the popular people. And like Shaggy was the stoner and like Velma was the nerdy girl. Yeah.
Yeah. Like so I guess that does kind of like fall more into like sort of like cosplay and like video game esque, you know, where they'll I don't know. It does make sense, but it's just interesting for me to see that sort of thing and like which of the two characters pops up more in cosplay and stuff. But anyway, so do you know what today is?
I was going to wish this for you, actually, because I realized that it was today, just like it is March 10th.
It is March 10th. Apparently, it's Mario Day.
Have a Super Mario Day.
Yeah, a bunch of Mario games are on sale on the Switch, and they're not doing anything super special other than that, I think. But like, it's just every day, every time March 10th rolls around, it's Mario Day. So you didn't grow up on Mario, right? You were a Sonic Sega boy.
I was Sega, Sonic. I mean, I knew who Mario was, but yeah, no. I didn't own Mario games.
So I came up with a quick quiz in honor of Mario Day for you. We're going to see how much you know about Mario.
Oh boy. Okay. I will say I am proud of the fact I did own several Mario comics. But okay.
Well, this isn't going to have anything to do with comics because this is a video game podcast. Here's what's going to happen. I have picked, since it's March 10th, I have picked 10 Mario enemies, and I am going to tell you their names, and you are going to tell me what game they first appeared in.
Oh, I was about to say, just describe them or something like that. I might recognize, but the fucking game?
Yes.
Is it like, can I go like Mario 1 through 6 or something?
Which one is Mario 6, by the way? I'm just curious.
The most recent one? How many Mario games are there? 20? 30?
I mean, like, they stopped. They stopped the conventional numbering system after 3. I'll give you that much.
God, you've designed this to the exact weakness. Okay. I'll tell you if I at least visualize and know the monster in my head. I'll give you that too.
I didn't say monster. I said enemies.
Oh, okay. I'm judging.
Okay. All right. First enemy is very simple. You get character that you is no, well known, is a normal guy. In fact, he's kind of a shy guy.
Oh. Shy guys, I know what they look like. They were in my comics. I think they're in the Mario game that had like turnips and you could play as Princess Peach and like you could pick 4 different characters. There was like Mario, Princess Peach, Toad, and like Luigi.
All right, you know what?
I don't think that's Mario 1 through 3. Is that like, it's not Super Mario. Is it Mario Adventure Time?
You're digging yourself into a hole. Because I was going to give it to you because you described the correct game. Like, I know your actual knowledge of what game is what is, and, like, titles are not, you know, on top of things. But I will give that to you because you're identifying the correct game with the turnips and this character select and everything. That one's Super Mario Brothers 2.
Okay, I was like, it can't be Super Mario Brothers, because mm-hmm. I used to think Super Mario Brothers is just Mario 2, but I don't think so anymore.
Yeah, so Super Mario Brothers 2, fun fact, it was not originally a Mario game, but it was turned into a Mario game. It was originally called Doki Doki Panic, and then it was released in the U.S. as Super Mario Brothers 2, and it was actually released in Japan as Super Mario USA because of it was remade from Doki Doki Panic.
Okay.
Yeah, just some quick trivia for you for Mario.
Yeah, Day. Yeah. Like, wow, I'm learning stuff.
All right. Next enemy, he's another, like, not well-known, but very common enemy, Buzzy Beetle. I can hear the gears turning.
Like, there's only one character in my head that I'm picturing, but it's like a little pixelated guy. But I know the newer games have bugs in them. But I'm thinking, is this like the first Mario, like whatever the first Mario game was called? Because I think this was on my Game Boy.
Yeah, just Super Mario Brothers.
Mario Brothers 1.
Yeah, that's correct. He's been in...
He's like a little fly who jumps left and right, right? And he has like a spear?
Nope, damn. You're wrong.
But I got the game right, so it still counts.
You did get the game right, but I maybe should have docked the point of that because you mentioned the Game Boy, and Super Mario Land, the first game on the Game Boy, is different from Super Mario Brothers, which is the first Mario game. But
Nope. I'll slide under the technicality.
No, so Buzzy Beetle is the little walking guy that has a black shell that when you jump on him, it like churns into just the shell, and then you can kick the shell around.
Like, oh, I thought that was like a turtle, just like a weird turtle guy. Okay.
I mean, he's a Koopa. He's called Buzzy Beetle.
I assume anyway. Beetle implies he's an insect, but anyway.
No. Okay. All right. Next enemy. Ludwig von Koopa.
Oh, what game do you fight the Koopalings in? I feel like it's a game that has Yoshi in it. Super Mario Brothers 1?
All right, I'm going to back up a second. Why would you say Super Mario Brothers 1 when we have just established that is the first game?
Wait, isn't that... Or am I thinking of a different... Super Mario Adventures? Like, the one with the Peach series, but the first in that one.
Wait, what?
Like, the... So, you know, the games that... These games came out on Super Nintendo. The first Super Nintendo Mario game that was released. Like, the ones where you have the little screens and you can, like, go around the world and it's all in color. As opposed to, like
that what? One. Everything's in color. What are you talking about?
The original Marios weren't in color.
Yes, or they were.
Were they?
Yes, they were.
The Nintendo? The first 16-bit Mario.
Are you thinking of Pong? Because that one's in black and white, and that's not a Mario game.
My only Mario game was on the Game Boy. It was green and black.
Okay. I'm not sure if I'm going to give you 100% credit on that one, but you are correct. It is the first Super Nintendo Mario game.
Yes. What is that?
Actually, no. Actually, I gave that to you, and then I realized I was incorrect, because the Koopalings actually first show up in Super Mario Brothers 3. That's the Nintendo game. Like,
that's the one with like raccoons on the front, or Mario as a tanuki or a raccoon.
Yes, yeah, that's correct. The Koopalings are in world. So you did get that part correct, but they first showed up in Super Mario Brothers 3.
I admit defeat on that question.
All right, next one. Okay, this one I'm hopefully this one is right up your alley. Wario.
This feels like a trick question. Was Wario in a Mario game? Or is he like in Smash or something? Because I know Wario's Adventures, but I don't think Mario was in there. I'm going to go with, you're trying to trick me, Smash Brothers, whichever Smash included both of them. There is no game where Mario faces off against Wario.
Yes, there is. It's literally his first appearance. Super Mario Land 2 on the Game Boy. Wario was the villain. That was what that introduced Wario.
I assumed Wario was introduced in his own game. Fair enough.
No, No, he was the villain in Super Mario Land 2. And then I think Super Mario Land 3 was called Wario Land, and he was actually the protagonist. But in the he was the villain of the second Game Boy Super Mario game.
Random memory, I do remember playing the Wario Land game on a Game Boy in a Toys R Us when they used to have demos out there. That is the only interaction I've had with that game, was in front of like the video game section where they would put a Game Boy under like these locks and keys and you could play it a little bit. I played Wario Land for like 30 seconds.
It's a good game. I liked Wario Land. It's been a long time since I've played those games. But Wario as a platformer wasn't too bad. Okay, moving on. We're just going to keep with the theme and let's see if you get this one. Waluigi.
Fucking hell, like now I'm like, maybe he wasn't a Mario game because you said so, because otherwise I'd be like, I know he's like in tennis and like is he in like some Mario tennis game, and I'll stick with my first instinct and not in a video game with Mario as a protagonist or antagonist.
You are correct. I will give you this one. His first appearance was actually in Mario Tennis.
Yes,
you even got the sport right. Like that one, you're solid on.
Still leading, then. I think I've gotten more right than wrong so far.
Yeah, like so. Waluigi, unlike Wario, has never appeared in a non-sport-related game. Like he's been in golf and tennis and Mario Kart and baseball and the Olympics, but he has never once appeared in like a platformer or like. What might be considered a mainline game. So he's just invited to the sporting events. He doesn't get to play any other time.
Got it.
Okay, next one. Big Bertha.
I think I even know what this character looks like. No, that's Birdo. Fuck.
Yep. I assume what you're thinking of is Birdo, because there is
Birdo is like the egg shooting bird dinosaur thing.
Yep. You're right.
Big Bertha. Oh, wait. Big Bertha might be like a big fish. And if she's a big fish, the little fish were in my Game Boy game, but I don't know if a big... I'm going to just throw it out there. Super Mario Land 1? The game where you fight the sun?
No. Oh, well, okay. See, that's...
part was right.
You're sending mixed messages because... Big Bertha was also in Super Mario Bros. 3, and that is the game where you fight the sun, but it's not Super Mario Land 1, which is the Game Boy game.
It's the game, yeah, I would have, if you had made me force my, like, to pick between the two, I wouldn't have been confident in my titling of any games, but the one versus the sun would have been my answer.
All right, so what we've learned is that you shouldn't throw out titles because that, like, makes you lose credibility. You should just go with descriptions and make sure you...
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, Big Bertha was another enemy in Super Mario Bros. 3.
Was it a giant fish?
Yes. You were correct on that as well.
And I think it's because she was in the comics. And the comic episode, I believe Big Bertha falls in love with Mario. And Mario has to like trick his way out of her love or something.
All right. Let's keep on going with the big theme and let's talk about Big Boo.
Oh, this one. I know this. I might have played a game with Big Boo in it, but that's probably because he was in older games too. This is the big ghost in those. I'm going to say this was probably first introduced in a Super Nintendo game. But Mario 3 seems to be the game that I go to for everything, but... I want
Mario
to say no,
3
for...
isn't a Super Nintendo game.
I know, which is why I'm like, I don't know the first Super Nintendo Mario game, but Yoshi, the first one with Yoshi, that's the one I'm going to go with.
Super Mario World. And you are correct.
That's the first time Yoshi
with Yoshi.
Wow, is it on the Super Nintendo, I take it?
Yes. You are correct in everything but figuring out what the name of the thing is, despite me saying the names multiple times.
I have played this game, the Yoshi game.
I would love to like have a really like true blood Nintendo fan sit down and listen to this segment of this podcast and just get their live reaction to how you are describing Mario games that, like, some people think are just, like, common knowledge and that everyone knows everything about. Like, it would just be fantastic.
What I'm amazed by, though, is I'm actually getting these games right based on, like, descriptors of the games, mm-hmm. and not just the simple, oh, this is the name everyone knows. No, the one where you fight the sun.
All right. Next one. Chargin' Chuck.
Oh, God. Nothing comes to mind, but I wonder if it's like, no, those are the hammer bros who chuck hammers. Is there one who wears like a helmet and just runs at you? I'm going to go with, so my instinct just says throw it out there because it's the game I know the least of, like, Mario 3 versus the, could it be the Super Mario World again? But I'm going to go with Super Mario Brothers 3.
Your instinct was wrong on this one. It's actually Super Mario World. They're the football players that, like, throw footballs at you and charge at you.
So I had the right visual, and I was like, but this one is in the Yoshi game.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's World is where they first appear. All right, we've got two more. I'm going to be interested to see where your mind goes with this one, but The last two are probably the most difficult, I would say.
Okay.
Dry Bowser.
So Dry Bowser makes me think of dry bones, which means there's probably a skeleton version of Bowser. When did that happen? I don't think that was in the Super Nintendo's at all. This might be a GameCube or a Wii game. No, it's not the Wii. It's probably the GameCube. Did the GameCube have a... No, it's not in Mario 64. It's the game that came after Mario 64.
So, can I ask you?
Yeah.
Do you think Mario 64 came out on the GameCube? I'm trying to follow your logic here.
No, but I don't.
Okay, all right. Now, just clarify.
I don't. The stupidest question, which is probably the answer, is yes. I don't know if there was a Mario game on the GameCube.
All right, just assume there is always a Mario game on the console. At least
that one. Mario game, the first Mario game on the GameCube. That is not like a racing game or so, but an actual legit Mario game is the one I'm going to go with.
Okay. You're wrong. The Mario game that came out on GameCube was Super Mario Sunshine, just to answer
that.
Oh,
fuck that. It wouldn't have been in Sunshine. Yeah. I didn't know that.
It was New Super Mario Brothers, which was the Wii platform.
I was in the right era. It was a later game, but fuck.
You are correct. What? It was in a later game. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I was thinking that one might trick you because he shows up a lot in, like, the Mario Karts and, like, sports games. So I thought you might.
Does he?
Yeah.
You're not. This isn't Dry Bones, though. This is a different being.
Yeah, no. Dry Bowser shows up in a couple different Mario Karts and, like, Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games and that sort of thing. So I thought you might have.
Got it.
Remembered it from that or something, but I guess not. You were on the right track, though. You were close. All right.
Okay.
This one is the last one. Metal Mario.
Metal Mario?
Metal Mario.
Mario 64? Like not the GameCube, but the system that came before that. The Nintendo 64. That one.
All right. Now, before you lock in your answer, I'm going to do a very quick clarification and re-mention at the beginning, I picked 10 Mario enemies. Do you still want Mario 64 to be your final answer?
Are you implying where there's a game where he is not an enemy, but he might be there? I'm going to say, because otherwise the go-to would be a Smash game, but I'm going to say that there's got to be a Metal Mario in 64. I feel like I've seen this cubey gray Mario. Yeah, I'm going to lock it in.
Okay. I'm sorry, but this one was a trick, sort of a trick one. This was the one that I was expecting to trip you up on and why I gave you a chance to you know,
okay.
move.
Yeah.
Because Metal Mario the power-up is in Mario 64. You can get the cap that turns you into Metal Mario, but that is not an enemy. The first time the enemy appears is in Super Smash Bros. When you fight Metal Mario.
I mean,
you were yeah, there. I
had named
the
both
logic.
Games too. I had the logic. Both games, but I was like, I could swear that I've seen the graphics of the 64 graphics with a Metal Mario in it, but I didn't know if, yeah, fair enough. You successfully tricked me in a game that was already designed to be difficult for me.
I mean, you still did pretty good. Like, yeah. I can see that it was not exactly, you know, your your realm of expertise, but you still did good. Like,
I was actually adjacent. I feel like I'm glad that you counted my descriptions of games, because again, as a non-Nintendo person, why would I know the names of the Mario games? But I knew like the content.
Yeah, like I wasn't trying to like do a like a gotcha or anything. I wanted to.
Yeah.
You showed the knowledge you had, and on almost all of them, you at least got within the ballpark. Like, you weren't the only one you absolutely didn't get was the Buzzy Beetle one, which you still got the game right, even though you were picturing the wrong enemy.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
So let's talk a little bit about games. So like there's been a lot of gaming news, hasn't there? And I don't like there's a lot to talk about, and I don't even know where to begin. Well, so a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game was announced today. That's the one. That's the news I'm most excited about.
Was that announced today?
Yes, it was. It came out today.
And I was looking at like, so I haven't looked at any trailers or anything. I just saw like the screenshots that maybe you had posted or others had posted.
Uh-huh.
Is it a remake of an old game, or it's a brand new game? It's
a brand new game, and you should really watch the trailer, because they do like a completely new animated intro. The lead singer of Faith No More does a cover of the 80s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles song for it. Like, you should actually watch the trailer. It's like, I'm really excited about this, because this is like, you know how Streets of Rage 4 got you like all tingly about Streets of Rage? Like, this brings back my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle brawler fan whatever feelings.
I loved those games as well. Yeah, it's a, I remember them in like Chuck E. Cheese's and arcades. This was like my go-to game.
Yeah, I love playing them in arcades. I love playing them at home. Like, Turtles in Time is one of my favorite games ever. Like, yeah, it's and this has those, that vibe, and like the people who made it, who are designing it, said they're like big fans of not only the genre, but of like the cartoon as kids and growing up. And so they're trying to like do it justice and like make a game that is more modern, but still like keeps most of what was liked about those games in play. And it's being published by the same people. Like, there's two teams working together on it as kind of like a collaborative effort. And like, one of them is the people who made Streets of Rage 4, which has done very well. So that's exciting for me. There's no release date. Oh, excuse me. There's no release date set for it yet, but I am really excited for this. I'm going to co-op the hell out of it. Let's see. What else has been talked about? Did we talk? God, it's been so long. Did we talk about them finally killing Anthem the last time we spoke?
We did. That was on last episode.
Okay. All right. So just trying to figure out what news we should go over, if there's anything interesting. So they announced Pokemon stuff, which I'm not like super excited about, because I'm not like huge into Pokemon, but there was some controversy, and like, Pokemon fans have just gotten really... Pokemon fans are starting to get dangerously close to the same class of fan as Star Wars fans.
They
like have a very specific view of this thing that they enjoyed in their childhood. And if they don't, like, if everything that comes out doesn't specifically cater to what they envision is the right way this should go, then they're just going to yell and scream and stomp their feet about it. And so they announced two new games. The first they announced is they're remaking Diamond and Pearl, which is the fourth gen of Pokemon. I think it came out on the DS, I want to say, maybe. Okay. I don't know. Maybe it might have been Game Boy Advance. I'm not entirely sure. But they're remaking it, but they're not like giving it like a full like remake in the style of like the most recent game. They're doing like a more chibi art style that actually sort of more matches how the game was on like the original systems. But everyone and in the Pokemon community, well, not everyone, I want to say, a vocal section of the Pokemon community just was like, fuck this, like, we don't want chibi art style, we want it to be like high def cool looking Pokemon, this isn't the remake we wanted, blah blah blah, and just like throwing a hissy fit. But then they also announced something called Pokemon Legends Arceus, and it's going to be like an open world Pokemon game before there are like gyms and stuff, and it takes place in like history of Pokemon, and you like run around as like one of the first trainers with Pokeballs and are like out in the wild catching Pokemon, and it's supposed to be like a more of an open world exploration sort of experience that every Pokemon fan has ever been dreaming of. And of course, there was a vocal section of Pokemon fans who saw that trailer and was like, it looks too empty. This doesn't look like it's going to be a good game. Why are they even bothered doing this? What's the point of it? Blah, blah, blah. And so, like, they made two announcements of things that people were really excited for and would have wanted before the announcements, but then found reasons to complain about them, and it was just kind of like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be fans of this, not like Debbie Downers.
Like, and the two announcements sound actually like for different audiences in a way, where I was like, oh, fourth gen, it's not my gen, I don't really care about it, but okay, the chibi stuff, it seems like for people who might like it, sure, but Pokemon came even before that, 151 baby, and then like the Pokemon Legends, I'm like, proto, like ancient, I'm in my mind, my one thing would be I would want it to only have then the original 151 Pokemon, but I know in like the Pokemon world, I guess, or timeline, that's not the first 151 were probably not the original Pokemons and stuff.
Oh, it's region based, like, so like the new Legends game is going to take place in the same region as the remake, the Diamond and Pearl ones, so it'll probably be primarily ones from that region. But like, I see what you're saying, but it's not going to take place in the original region.
Because I was about to say, if it's like Breath of the Wild meets Pokemon, I would kind of be into that, where I'm just a trainer, like, there's no gyms or anything, but I've got to actually capture all the Pokemon out in the wild and just like figure out how to like do that. That would be kind of interesting if like these Pokemon have never been seen before and stuff.
Yeah, like that's
making a storyline.
Yeah, that's what it seems like it'll be. Like, we haven't got a lot of information on it yet, and it's not supposed to come out until next year, but that does seem like where they're going with it, to the point that they like echoed shots from the Breath of the Wild trailer initially and we're sort of like trying to really say, hey, this is open world and not like go to a gym, fight the gym trainer, go to the next gym, sort of progression like most other Pokemon games.
And I would assume it's single player, and so I don't have to deal with other people running around also pretending to be like the first people.
Yeah, I don't think it's the Pokemon. It's going to be like an MMO or anything like that. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to that one. I would be definitely down to try it out. I'm not sure, but like, I don't have any particular nostalgia for that generation because I didn't play that version. I played the original Pokemon. My Pokemon path was basically original 151, skipped generations 2, 3, 4, got back into it with 5, and kind of like played 5 and 6, wasn't interested in 7, then got 8, which is Sword and Shield. So like, I don't have any nostalgia for these remakes. I did play, I think, Heart Gold, which was the remake of the second generation. So I kind of have more of an appreciation for that because I did get into it. I liked that game. So I know more about second generation Pokemon, but like third and fourth generation and seventh generation to a degree are just kind of like blank points in my knowledge. I don't know much about Pokemon other than like the primary ones that were advertised, like Lucario or something.
Got it. Yeah. I'm just a Pokemon Red boy.
in personal news, I might be getting a PS5.
I saw that. What do you mean by might?
So like I had this, I was telling my girlfriend about it when it was happening, and it, like I had this very much the dog chasing the car moment where, you know, everyone is like, what happens if the dog actually catches the car that he's chasing? And so like for like the last, like I would say month or so, like maybe a little longer off and on, like since the PS5 and Xbox next gens have been announced, they have been doing like rollouts where like Walmart or Best Buy or Amazon or even Sony directly will have set up like a queue time, or like we're going to open things up at this specific time period. We'll have a number of PS5s to sell and you'll line up and queue up, and it's first come first serve sort of in this online queue, and people get to go through and buy one at a time. And, you know, people start queuing up at a certain time and you might get lucky and you might not. And so it all depends on like if you check online and see like, oh, they're actually going to be announcing in an hour. Well, I'll be here so I can do it. Or, oh, they announced it 30 minutes ago. It's probably too late for me to actually get in line, whatever. And so for like the last month or so, I've just kind of been like, while I'm working, I'll just kind of idly be on Twitter. And if I see like, hey, there's a PS5 thing going up at Walmart at like 4 o'clock, I'll be like, oh, okay, I'll just join. I don't expect to actually get it because there's so many people trying to get PS5s right now. So I'm not actually expecting to get through. And like a couple times, like I've gotten, it's like the queue has ended and you're like, okay, you can buy it now, and I've gone and it's sold out. And obviously like that's what I was expecting. So it hasn't been any disappointment or anything. I've just kind of been like a thing I've been doing in the background of like, oh, I might get a PS5, I might not. And so today there was a queue from like directly from Sony. They set up, they're like doing a new batch of PS5s. And I got in, I was sitting in the queue, and then the notification came up and it actually wasn't sold out. And I got to put it in a cart, and I was like, okay, I'll put it in the cart. But then by the, I've seen these horror stories before where people will put it in their cart, and then by the time they go to check out, it won't like be in there anymore. It'll be sold to someone else. Like I won't be able to get one. This is fine. It's not a big deal. And so I go through the checkout process and like it put in my cart. I'm like, okay, it led me into the cart. Oh, now I have to log in. All right, log me in. It's still in my cart. Oh, it asked for my payment information. Okay, I put that in, still in my cart. And like I got all the way through the process, and then I'm sitting there at the end of the process going like at the confirm purchase, and everything is still going through. And I'm like, holy crap, I might actually be buying a PS5. And that's when I was like, it's like the dog with the car moment. I'm like, do I want a PS5 right now? Like, I've been going through all this and like, I don't need a PS5, but I've made it all the way to this point and thought I wouldn't be getting it, but I might still get it. And so I went ahead and I'm like, you know what? It's something I'm going to buy eventually at some point, and who knows if it'll actually be in stock when I'm actually trying to look for it. So sure, why not? Like, I've made it this far, who cares? And then confirmation went through. I got a confirmation email being like, you know, this is, you've bought a PS5, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, so I guess I got a PS5 now. But I'm also not sure, because like there has been like people having it and then getting like a refund email or a cancellation and being like, actually, sorry, we didn't have enough in stock, so you're not actually getting one. And like, I took my time going through this process thinking that like I was going to be kicked out at any time or whatever. And yeah, so like I have a confirmation email saying I'm going to get a PS5 at some point.
And, but you yeah, still won't let yourself get your hopes up?
Yeah, like I'm I was telling my girlfriend about it, and like basically this conversation verbatim was like, why aren't you excited for it? And I'm like, well, I've seen other people get their hopes up and then have something happen and have it be canceled. So until it actually gets delivered at my door and like I actually have a PS5, I don't think I'm gonna like go crazy about it. But you know, who knows? It might actually show up soon and I might have a PS5. And that's why I've also like I haven't even bought any games or like even considered if I'm gonna get anything for it, because I want to make sure it actually shows up first, you know.
But like, you can play your PS4 games on it, right?
Yeah, it has like enhancements and everything, and like there aren't a lot of PS5 only games right now anyway.
So you might be getting a PS5.
Yeah, I might be getting a PS5.
How long has it been out? Like, how many months or how long has it taken you basically to stumble upon this PS5?
So I think it was released middle of November last year. So okay. It's been less like 6 months. 4 months.
Yeah. That's not a bad turnaround, actually. I mean,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, like, considering it's still, like, hard to get and, like, selling out and scalpers and shit, like... Even like the other thing is, if I do happen to have one and it comes to me and I'm like not enthused about it, I can, or even like if I get it and realize I can't actually spend that money on it right now, I can definitely like give it to somebody else for like regular price, and just for someone who's been trying to get it and hasn't had good luck with it, and just kind of like do a little pay it forward thing that just make it easy for them to acquire it instead of them having to wait in lines and maybe not getting it. But
yeah. Are you basically already trying to scalp the PS5 to our audience?
I'm not scalping it, because I'm not going to charge extra for it. And I'm only going to, if I do not keep it for myself, I will be giving it to someone I know and not just being like, hey, does anyone want a PS5? Give me all your money, sort of thing. Like, it'll just be, hey, if you've been looking for a PS5 and just haven't had success, I have one. Just, you know, give me the money and I'll give you the PS5, sort of thing.
Huggy Z is getting some ideas.
Don't be a scalper. Scalpers are shit. People who use bots to, like, get into these queue times and, like, steal them away from people who just want a fucking PS5 to play games on or for their kids or whatever, they're shit. Don't do it. Like, Harvey, you have some weird get-rich-quick schemes. This one, you're not doing that one.
This is actual just crimes?
Yes, this is not... I mean, it's there's nothing wrong with it from a legal perspective. You're just an asshole if you do it. It's like the guy who bought shit ton of hand sanitizer when the pandemic started just because he knew people would want it, and then trying to resell it for hire. And then when everyone found him on Twitter, he was like, oh, I was just getting it because I wanted to be able to give it away and make sure someone else didn't do this, when he totally was going to do it himself. Shit, I have a dentist appointment. Sorry, I'm looking at my email now and completely didn't realize I had a dentist appointment for next month. Those things you schedule ahead of time, man, you always forget about them.
I don't believe in dentistry.
You don't believe in dentistry?
I probably need to go see a dentist. I haven't scheduled one in years.
Sadly. Oh, you need to go see a dentist, man. Like, I don't fuck around with, like, I don't go to doctors a lot. But I don't fuck around with dentists. Like, teeth, man, if you lose your teeth, you're not getting those back.
I mean, I have that same principle, but with doctors. I don't mess around with my doctors, but dentistry, I'm like, okay, I can just George Washington this down the road.
Like, for me, doctor, like, I try very hard to not be a hypochondriac, and so I think I might go a little too far in the opposite direction for doctors, in the sense that I'm like, I don't want to go see a doctor every time I think something might be wrong. But if something goes serious, I will go in to see a doctor, and I'll do like yearly checkups or whatever.
Okay, that's the important part. You go and at least get checked out. Like,
But like, I also am not like, I'm sick, I need to go see the doctor. Like, if I have a cough or whatever, I just dose myself with all sorts of flu medication or whatever that I can get over the counter instead of trying to get diagnosed or of what's wrong with me. And, you know, I guess getting older, you sort of have to realize that some things are not actually going to go away like they did when you're like teens and 20s. Like, my back sometimes bothers me more than it really should, but I'm like, I'll just use a back massager and lay around for one day and it'll be fine tomorrow.
Does that work?
Sometimes it takes a little longer for it to work, but like, usually I haven't had problems with it in a while. There was like a couple days back in January where like my back really hurt, and like I finally took like an actual day off from work, I think, and just sort of rested it and laid and everything, and then finally it got better, and I think I might have just like pulled something accidentally somehow. I don't want to have chronic back problems. That's not on my list of things to enjoy as I get older.
Understandable. I totally sympathize. Oh, that's a topic we can talk about if we want to pull out some old stuff of where you said something recently when we were playing games that I just found very puzzling and odd, and I'll have to try to remember it, but did you basically say that we cannot sympathize or empathize one or the other with video game characters?
Yeah, because sympathy is understanding what someone goes through because you've experienced it yourself.
Okay.
Empathy is understanding what someone is going through because you can imagine it, and you're like understanding through process of imagination and listening and not actually constructing it from a memory you have yourself. And so I said that you can't sympathize with a video game character because you aren't a video game character. Therefore, you can't have experienced something a video game character goes through. But you can empathize with a video game character and what they go through. So, and I know this is a very pedantic way of looking at it.
Because I was about to say, like, I'm going to look it up kind of thing. And unfortunately, the like Google's dictionary thing is not helpful, where it basically goes, sympathy, understanding between people, a common feeling. Empathy, the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. That's very, very similar. Sympathy, the other definition for sympathy is feelings of pity and sorrow for someone else's misfortune, like condolences or such. But I'm just trying to think about it of where empathy and sympathy, regardless of the definition wise, though. So repeat your definition of what you cannot do, because that's the one I took issues with.
like if you're not a video game character, you can't sympathize. Like,
okay, I would argue that the video game character could not sympathize with another video game character because it doesn't know it's a video game character in most video games.
See, like, now we're getting really pedantic about it. Because
you're going down a Wreck-It Ralph type of world where they know and they punch their 9-to-5 where they become a video game character for a while. I would argue that a video game character is living their life, and each life is its own, like, life without a previous memory. And you could sympathize or empathize, or whichever one is the correct one, with each of those, because you don't have to sympathize with the experience of being a video game character, but, like, each individual moments or... Now, the easiest one, because you made it also so broad that I was like, oh, well, The Sims, I know what it's like to, like, accidentally pee yourself at work or something, and then you're filled with shame and embarrassment. I could totally either sympathize or empathize, whichever one is the right one, with that feeling. I don't have to know the whole Sims world and life, but that's a universal feeling I think we could all, like, know, or even you don't even need to live it to guess what that would feel like.
Well, like, I can empathize with you on that because I have never peed myself at work, but I could understand that it would be shameful if you did.
It happens, man. It happens. You don't want to... I should have used a better example. That never happened.
On that note, That's the end of our podcast. We're at our running time. So this was a little bit of a wild episode. I was going to talk about games that I was playing, but we sort of went into a little bit of lots of tangents. It was definitely an episode of Make Me a Gamer. So on that note, where can they find you, Harvey Z?
You can find me at Make Me a Harvey Z on Twitter, or at Make Me a Harvey Z on Twitter.
I'm glad that even though you've made your name simpler, you still have a hard time telling people where you are.
I completely forget. It's we don't do it frequently enough yet. It hasn't sunk in that I'm.
I'm waiting for the time where you start doing it and you say your old handle and don't realize it, or do realize it and go, wait, shit, fuck. Anyway.
That Z is dead to me. It's silent.
You can find me on Twitter at @Atma_Phoenix. You can find our podcast at Make Me a Podcast. You can always email us at makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com. And you can find my writings at atmasweapon.com. I think I'm at number 60-something on my top 100 games of all time list at this point. I'm doing pretty good. Pretty, pretty good. Gonna crack the top 50 here within the next couple weeks. All right. And that is it for us. Harvey Z, take us out.
I was going to actually comment. I have been following on your the Twitter 100 thing, the top 100. I don't actually read the articles, but I love to see what little titles you give them. Because they amuse me, actually. And if they amuse me just from that, I'm sure the content is quite good as well. The other thing I like is that you've started it off with, like, slams fist on table and, like, let's do this.
Uh-huh.
Is, like, the first post in this long chain of tweets. And every time it pops up on my Twitter feed, I read it and think that's what's actually happening. So every time you update and I read it for the first time, I imagine you slamming your fist on the table and going, let's do this. And I'm like, this is a new tweet. Oh, no. So every single time you update, I've done it without fail. I just imagine, oh, this is a new post and he's slamming his fist down. Let's do this.
Let's do this. I guess I should have slammed my fist down first and then said, let's do this, but whatever.
You should have also ended the podcast there. It was a good exit.